This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Having a Laugh. You're here with Nathan and Dylan. I'm Dylan Stewart. No. Are we going? You just made us on. He's just like, I'm going to wait.
And I'm Nathan Cross.
Man, I got played.
Nah.
I got played for a fool.
That's what happens.
Nathan's like, hey, do you want to start the show? I was like, yeah, let's do it. It's just a rib. Here we go. We're here today, and it's week
40 it's, something.
It's week something, 40
we're,
something.
We're coming up to a big number.
Yeah, we are coming up to a year, and we're going to have something really special planned out for that.
Do we?
We do.
We do?
Yeah, we're going to do the thing at the place.
Oh yeah, this is episode 44.
Wow,
eight more weeks, guys.
Yeah.
So we do the thing at the place.
I think we should have some sort of like competition to give something away.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know what.
You know what else is happening in 8 weeks' time?
Oh, yeah, I do. Comedy Festival. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of around about 8 weeks' time.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, yeah, just over 8 weeks' time.
Yeah. This must be exciting listening. Nathan's counting.
I'm counting the weeks. That's how excited I am about Palmerston North Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
How excited are you about Palmerston North Comedy Festival? Message in. Let us know.
Yeah, hit us up.
You can message us on 111.
You can call in
06.
Yeah, here we go.
357-9340. Yeah. Expect an angry person to answer the phone.
Yep, that's it.
Having a laugh on NPR.
Yeah, but you tell them how excited you are and we will... We'll get them to take notes.
Phone more than once, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell them pipe bombs and headlocks, ain't you?
I don't know what that means. Oh, that's the other show that's recording next door. You can't hear us. We're just giving a shout out. Pipe
sound,
locks and
soundproof
headphones.
Yes. I got some news. Should we rock into that?
Let's rock into it.
Okay. So technology is advancing.
It is.
And people are... have to be very PC about it.
They do.
So the French have taken this one step further, and they're like, oh, it's degrading if women are strippers.
It is not.
I know, but some people think it is. So to avoid the Me Too movement, the French have debuted a robot pole dancers.
That's degrading.
To robots.
That's stealing jobs off of hardworking women.
Yeah.
Mechanizing them.
That's it.
And objectifying them.
This is the start of, like Terminator.
Well, pole dancing is a skill.
It is
a
skill,
a lot of time
to
practice and learn.
A lot of injuries along the way.
A lot of injuries. And it's a legitimate art form.
Yep.
And by replacing these women, strong, feisty and independent, naked women with robots,
yep,
they are objectifying them and minimizing their effort.
I feel they're taking away their femininity.
And their income.
Yeah.
And their choice.
That's it.
Motherfuckers.
Some people want to be strippers.
And their boobies.
Yeah. Well, no, they have boobies.
No, I mean, they're
robotic ones.
Taking them away from the public.
Yeah. I just don't think it'll be that appealing when you think of a metal robot on a metal pole grinding away. It'll just be metals on metal scraping the whole time.
Yeah.
Not pleasant. Do you know what I mean?
So they're basically filling up pole dancing places with sex bots.
Yeah. They don't have sex with you.
They might. I mean, I imagine that would not have any legal issues if that were the case.
Well, it's not illegal. So, I mean, you can have sex
with a robot.
Oh, yeah, not
here. You can have sex with a stripper here, can't you? You can't do that in the UK where I'm from.
Oh, prostitution's still illegal?
Yeah.
Get with the times. Get with the times.
I think we got with the times.
It always amazes me how prostitution's illegal here, but marijuana isn't.
I don't think that prostitution's illegal in the UK. I think you can be a prostitute on your own, but you're not allowed to like be a stripper that has sex with clients in the back room of a pole dancing club.
Gotcha.
Brothels are illegal.
I see how that works.
Safety is illegal, basically.
Yeah, I get that. So, yeah, if you want to see some robots, I mean, like, do they strip down to just the mainframe? Do you know what I mean? Like what's the deal? Yeah.
Take it all off, baby.
Yeah.
It's all like, doop, boop, beep, boop.
Yeah.
I don't know why we just got this sort of clockwork image.
I just thought it'd be cool if they had like just a slot for you to put money into. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
there's a slot.
You can't even like with strippers now. You put it into like their G-string or panties or whatever like that, and they just have like an ATM.
Yeah, you can swipe your card in their ass crack.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, except there's no pin pad, so they just take everything that's
it's
in
P-wave.
There. Yeah, that's it. So if you're into robots like hardcore, go to France. There's other stuff in the article, but to be honest, I didn't read it. I saw the headline. I was like,
I mean, it's very like the French to be uptight about sexuality and nudity.
Yeah.
How French of them.
Yeah. Just don't, if you're going for a lap dance, don't piss the robots off because they'll just rip your dick off. You know what I mean? Like I can imagine they're incredibly strong.
Mm.
So obviously don't know how lap dancing works. So. I mean, I don't know if you do.
That one's just a shout out to Dylan's wife. If she's listening, hi, Jen. Dylan does not know how lap dancing works.
Honestly, I don't. I've never had a lap dance. I've been to one strip club and it was disgusting. Like it was filthy. And all I could think of was hygiene.
I've given a few.
Let's save that for another day.
Back in the desperate days.
We're going to put a pin in that. We're going to keep that one for another episode.
Methamphetamine is a very expensive habit.
That's going to be episode 52.
The methamphetamine episode.
Yeah.
If any gangs are listening, hook us up.
That's it. Should we do one more news story and we'll jump into our review?
Into our rant.
There is a possibility that the first crime has been committed in space. So up until now, space, zero crime.
Well, it's because space has zero laws, right?
Wow, international waters, you got to think.
But it's not international waters, it's extra-planetary space. What's the crime? Let's be the judge of this.
It's quite weak, to be honest. There's an astronaut, Anne McLean, who was in space.
Uh-huh.
She's shortlisted to be the first woman to walk on the moon.
Uh-huh.
And she decided to breach her ex-partner's bank account and log in and check her bank account.
Oh, so it is a crime.
It is a crime. It's a privacy crime, and it's also some fraudulent stuff in there as well.
Wow.
Now, she was saying that it's not a crime because they had an agreement that she would be able to log in and check the family's financial records.
Mm-hmm.
Her ex-partner, Summer Warden, has complained to the Federal Trade Commission and... her family's lodged a complaint with NASA, and they're looking into it. So first, and I hope not the last, crime committed in space.
Yeah, I reckon the space could be the new Wild West. Give it 50 years.
I reckon it'd be great. I mean, we've all seen that, not Terminator movie, that Arnold movie where he's like in Mars. What's that movie called?
Oh, Total Recall.
Total Recall. Lots of crime there.
There is a lot of crime on Mars.
Yeah, there was a whole colony of criminals and stuff. I just can't wait.
I got 3 kids to feed, man.
Nice. I haven't seen that movie for so long.
You make me wish I had 3 hands, baby. And other slightly racist things.
So there you go. That could be the first crime committed in space. By a woman.
By a woman.
The first one's committed by a woman.
Oh, well, you got to be the first at something, right?
Feminine rights. They have the right to commit crime in space, just like everyone else.
Mm.
If space travel becomes a thing where you can go and it's affordable, it's like $1,000, let's say, would you go?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool, eh?
What the fuck wouldn't you?
That'd be awesome.
Crazy loser would you have to be to not want to go?
I mean, like $1,000. You get to go up for, say, three hours and come back.
For sure.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool. Go commit a crime.
Yeah.
Go and do a Louis C.K.
Yeah, it's a pretty harmless crime.
Mostly. I mean, it's not harmless in space. It could get all over the place.
Short some stuff out.
Yeah. I am, of course, talking about him not paying his alimony payments.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, totally.
That's
not the other thing.
What other thing?
Well, that wasn't a crime. It was just a bad thing, supposedly.
He's I didn't know he did a bad thing.
No. Well, he did that one joke. Wasn't it funny? It's like his second ever gig.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, should we move on to our review?
Well, speaking of comedians who've done a bad thing, I'm going to give you a clip from what we've been watching this week, and then we're going to get crack right into it. So from his brand new show that I was very, very excited about, Dave Chappelle from Sticks and Stones.
On network television, they have a department that's called Standards and Practices. This is the department that tells you what you can and cannot say on television. And if you're doing your job well, you should never hear from them. But if you're making a Chappelle show, you'll hear from these motherfuckers all the time. And remember, this is 15 years ago. I made a mistake. I didn't even know I had done anything wrong. I had written a sketch that had the word faggot in it. So I had to go to Standards and Practices. They call me up. I don't know why they're calling me, but I like the lady that runs the department. She's usually really fair and was one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. So she sits me down. We have a nice conversation. She tells me, oh, the sketches are great. I go, oh, fantastic. Well, then why am I here? She said, because, David, there's no way that you can ever say the word faggot on our network. I didn't know I did anything wrong. I didn't try to defend myself. I said, all right, fuck it. I'll take it out. Have a good afternoon. And as I was leaving, it occurred to me, hey, Renee, quick question. It's just a question. Seriously, I want to know, like, why is it that I can say the word nigger with impunity? But I can't say the word faggot. And she said, because, David, you are not gay. I said, well, Renee, I'm not a nigger either.
That is possibly my new favorite line of the moment in stand-up comedy.
It's so good.
Deeply impressive.
Yeah. So I loved every bit of this special, I gotta say.
Apparently this is causing some controversy.
Of course it is.
So there's a lot of comedians are upset about this. A lot of comedians who I wouldn't have expected to be upset about this are upset about this.
Oh,
show.
Really?
Calling it lazy.
Yeah.
Saying that it's punching down.
Yeah.
Giving it all kinds of grief. And then there are comedians who aren't wrong. So, you know.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
It was a great
fucking
show.
Amazing.
It was really good.
From minute zero.
Oh, the minute zero was, like, I know you think that was your highlight, that joke. Mm. Minute zero was my highlight.
Well, when he's singing Prince?
Yeah, just, it starts off, you don't even see him. You just hear him, like, singing Prince. And then he goes into the Anthony Bourdain, I don't want to give it away, the Anthony Bourdain bit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then
yeah.
The bit after the Anthony Bourdain bit. And it's so good. And the song, I don't know. The song kind of doesn't tie into what he's talking about in a way, but in a way it does, and it's amazing. I just think that bit could not have been done better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're watching a comedy special and you're like, oh, that was real good, but I mean, I would have done that joke like this. Mm. That's not to say that how I would have done it or anyone else was better. It's just a different way. That bit, to me, was flawless.
I think that throughout, the jokes were really good.
Yeah.
And now where people are getting upset, I guess spoilers, by the way, because this is we're going to talk about his stuff. Yeah. So people are getting upset because he refers to the alphabet people, and by that means the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah.
The bit is only about 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Some of it maybe is admittedly a shade on the lazy side. The alphabet people stuff. The thing is, this all it requires context, because the context is that his last show kind of pissed a few people in the LGBT community off.
Yeah.
So his bit is kind of in response to the backlash that he got. Yeah. So there's a context to it. It's not just out of nowhere. So I get that. But it's about 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
So to write off his whole hour and 20-minute special over 3 minutes, where is arguably a bit lazy and it's arguably a bit not.
Yeah,
I think is petty and stupid.
Yeah, you got to look at it in the overall context. And you know what? There was a little bit of it that was a little bit lazy, but there was a lot of it that wasn't.
Mm.
And sometimes you have to get through with a what seems to be lazy to get to the good bit.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you just, it's a journey joke, so you got to get through one bit to get to the good bit.
Mm.
And that's probably what that was.
Yeah.
He had to put in the obvious.
For sure. I mean, he had to address it. It's like always, and this is the thing that gets me, is like, this is people you can't please, because if he hadn't said anything about it,
yeah,
they would have been annoyed.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you didn't address the last show.
Yeah.
And then you do say something about it, but you've got to make it a joke. You can't do the Aziz Ansari thing and just go up and fucking apologize at the start of the show like some wet blanket.
No.
Before ragging into people for like the next hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's
like, if you're going to address it, you've got to address it as a joke.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle's quite good at doing the thing of like, you know, I say the things I say not to be mean, but to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
And also, you know what? Like, I don't care who you are. Dave Chappelle doesn't have to apologize to anyone.
Nah, hell no.
Because you know what? Because he's got enough, like, he's in a position in his career where he's like, I don't need the money.
Well, I mean, he got $12 million for this special.
Yeah.
$12 million.
$12 million. So he doesn't need the money. So now he's at the stage of his career where he can be like, I'm going to say whatever I want, and also, I don't care. Because what are they going to do? Cancel it?
He's also one of the few ethical entertainers in the show business. Like, for instance, little known fact, here you go. So he had a show 10, 15 years ago, Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
It's like the most popular show on television.
Yeah.
He was the man. He was the guy, the comedy sketch guy. And he walked away from it. And the reason he walked away from it is because he kind of got wind of the way that Hollywood worked. He got wind of the people like the Harvey Weinsteins of the world and these piece of shit assholes. And he had kids and he was like, that's it. I am not being part of this industry. It is evil. I'm done with it.
Yeah, and they offered him
millions. And he walked away, and they all laughed at Dave.
Yeah.
They all gave him shit. They all said he was just some asshole. And then Me Too happens, and he's still a pariah, even though he's the one person that fucking did something. Like, he's like, no, I'm not taking part in that bullshit industry. We all know how it works. I'm walking away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Chappelle's man with fucking ethics.
Yeah. And he doesn't apologize in this, but I like how he's sort of sets a few things straight, like the R. Kelly thing.
The R. Kelly thing
is so good. I don't want to give it away, but he kind of sets a record straight to be like, it was assumed this, but actually this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, he did it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. The Michael Jackson bit was brilliant too.
Yeah, so just check. It's just end-to-end jokes. So you got to check it out, because we don't really say much about it. It's not like one of these ones where there's a sort of narrative throughout, really.
No.
It's just great jokes throughout for just over an hour. And then make sure that you watch the full credits.
Mm.
Because at the end of the credits, there is a link to a sort of short documentary / more of him on stage.
Ah.
That you can only get to by watching the credits. You can't look it up. You got to watch all the credits. And at the end, it's called like The After Laugh or something crazy like that. And you get to it by watching the full credits. And at the end of the credits, you click on his thing and he talks about, like, he does a Q&A with the audience. They ask him questions. He does answers to them, like, about how he comes up with jokes.
God, I missed all this.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't watch the credits.
And he talks about, like, how he came up with his jokes. He was talking about he did a small club in San Francisco he really enjoys doing. And there was a transgender woman in the audience, Daphne, who he talks about, like, laughing at the jokes, and people were like looking at her almost for permission to laugh at his jokes, and she was loving it.
Yeah.
And like, she bought him a drink at the end, and he was like, so it kind of the inspiration about like how he came up with the jokes and the rooms he was playing and the people he was telling to and doing a bit of Q&A. So yeah, stick with it until the very, very end.
See, I want to go home now. How much more have we got to go? Because I just want to go home and watch 10
minutes
desperately. God damn it. You people and your shows.
Yeah. You demand too much of us.
Oh, man. I want to watch that bad.
But yeah, you got to check out this show. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there who are wrong. No.
No.
There's a lot of people who this show might not appeal to, and I get it. But really, it is, it's pretty broad spectrum stuff.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very funny. It's mostly quite clever. And Dave Chappelle is just on fire, and he's a man that doesn't put up with shit from no one.
No.
So the best way to make Dave Chappelle stop telling jokes about things that you don't want to tell jokes about is to stop telling him not to tell those jokes.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
And those jokes will go away.
I will say this, though. If you're listening to this and you've never watched any Dave Chappelle ever,
Oh, start back at the start.
Yeah, don't start with this one. Yeah, go back to Killing Them Softly and work your way forward.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, there's a lot of his stuff on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, but go back, work forward, and then you'll appreciate it. And stop and watch The Chappelle Show.
Or go and watch every movie from the early 90s. Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah.
He's in, I think he's in Blue Streak with, what's his name? Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence, yeah.
He's in a lot of things. Is he not in Friday? Pretty sure he's in Friday. Chris Tucker and Ice Cube.
Wasn't he in Friday 2 or something?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Because Tucker was in 1.
And then Chappelle's Show. Chappelle's Show, of course, bit parts with Bill Burr. Bill Burr is in Chappelle's Show as white guy an awful lot.
Angry white guy,
He gets angry white guy, Bill Burr.
Which he does brilliantly.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Burr is an angry white guy. There's probably no person who's better suited to playing angry white guy than
Bill Burr.
Than Bill Burr. He definitely is one of those.
But no, I love the special. It was just so enjoyable. It was just non-stop laughter. It was... my wife didn't enjoy it as much.
She didn't enjoy it so much?
No, not her cup of tea.
No.
You're not going to believe this. My wife isn't a big stand-up comedy fan. Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, my partner doesn't really care for it either. But she did enjoy the show. Like, she wasn't really watching it. She was doing something else. But she kept looking up and kind of laughing at bits. And she wants to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Because she enjoyed what she heard. And she's going to go and give it a crack.
I also like the fact that he does tend to smoke in a lot of his specials.
Yes.
Not as much in this one.
He does in the little after thing show.
Oh, does he?
Saves himself.
Yeah. Also like how he always wears cool stuff.
Yeah, we jumpsuits and stuff.
Yeah, he's got some cool gear and he's got his own little logo and he always has it on the stage. Like, it's just those little things that are just, you know, and he doesn't, now he's doing it that in all the specials and it's cool to see that.
Yep.
So he's building a brand for himself. He's sort of more than just stand-up, you know what I mean? Like, he's these other things too.
Yeah, he's like comedy Slipknot. He just needs a mask now.
Yeah.
he's got the overalls.
That'd be amazing.
He's a mask.
Something like that. But it was cool. No, I really enjoyed it. And again, he's also one of these comedians who doesn't talk about his personal life a lot.
No.
Like in other specials, he's mentioned his wife.
Yeah.
But this one, he kind of brings you in a wee bit more. Like, he talks about his kid, one of his kids a wee bit more.
Yeah. I think you know enough about his wife to know that she's Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
he talks, is she Chinese?
Yeah, he's got a Chinese wife.
I know she's Asian.
He talks about it in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Or of Chinese ancestry, but he says Chinese.
Yeah.
So you know enough to know his wife is Chinese and he has a son. And
yeah.
That's like what you know about his family.
Yeah.
Content warning, he says the N-word a lot.
I mean, he said it in that clip.
He says that an awful lot.
Yeah.
And there's stuff about pedophilia.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff about gay and trans people.
Well, yeah, that whole community.
Yeah. Is that all the content?
Yeah, R. Kelly comes up a wee bit.
Yeah, so that's
his deeds.
Michael Jackson.
Basically, if you're anything, he tries to insult you just a wee bit. Not tries to, but you know what I mean? Like, there's something insulting in there, but in a very funny, funny way.
You know what, though?
What?
He doesn't come after the Klan, not even once. So I'm a little suspicious. I think he might be colluding.
He did once play a Klan member.
He did.
In
the Chappelle Show.
Yeah. An unknowing.
Yeah, and I feel like that wasn't a very derogatory thing about them either.
No.
I feel like Dave Chappelle.
Maybe Dave Chappelle's racist.
He might have some secrets.
Yeah.
He's not from very far south, though. You know, he's from D.C.,
he doesn't live in D.C. anymore, though.
No.
He lives in...
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh!
There we go.
He's fallen in with the wrong people.
We've worked this out.
There you go.
I think we should get
him on.
He's
a Trump-sympathizing Klansman. I doubt very much that he's either of those things.
I think all comedians deep down actually, though, love Trump.
What are Trump-sympathizing Klansmen?
No. We just also really love Trump because they're like, oh, this guy's gold.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I really want Trump to one day not be president, but people just keep making him think he is president and just film it. Like, they make a fake Oval Office and they're like, oh, no, you're still in charge. And they still do, they make him do all the things the president does and they just film it for TV. That'd be amazing. And he just thinks he's a president.
Like a new reality TV show.
Yeah, but he's like,
I'm getting up to comb my hair.
Yeah.
Morning in the life of a president.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's like a kind of Kermit the Frog. Yeah. Hey, President Trump here.
I'm going to put a bill forward. No.
Today's state of address is brought to you by the number 2.
Hey, Melina, can I get a blowjob?
Yay! I'm going to...
That'd be amazing. That'd be so cool. He just thinks he's still president. He's like, I've been president for now for like 10 years. I am the best president ever. Nobody's been president as long as I've been president.
Who needs term limits?
Yeah. That'd be incredible.
Right, here we go. So... Whoa, okay. We've got about 2.5 minutes to go.
Oh, Jesus, that went quick. Okay, what have we got coming up?
What have we got coming up? So, tomorrow night is open mic at the Willow Park Tavern.
Oh, yes, it is. Hosted by Richard Dryden.
Yeah, and it looks like there's a bit of a different crowd on tomorrow evening. So, it's people who are not necessarily normally on. I think Cool. Biambajav is on.
Oh, great.
We've seen a couple of hands up. Tommy Astarte.
Yep.
A whole bunch of... people who you have recognised, no doubt, from the Palmerston North scene. They're all famous to you, whoever's listening there.
Willow Tavern nights always go down well, too.
Willow Tavern's good. They've got a new room set up. So Sam, the person who's running it, has set up a new room specifically for the comedy. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit more intimate. It'll probably be a bit more laugh-friendly.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. Then on Friday.
So it's tomorrow, 8 o'clock at Willow Park Tavern.
Yep. And it's free. Yeah, come on down. It's free. Not going to cost anything.
Saturday night.
Saturday, not Friday.
Saturday night, we got Crack Up with the Cuzzies.
Yeah.
Headlined by Jermaine Ross. It's got an all Māori lineup. So you got Jade Moses, Christina Pui, who is a Ross runner up here.
Yep.
You got Richie B. Tuiono.
Yep.
Leanne Karaitiana, and hosted by Zach McCall. So it's going to be a real fun night.
That's on at the Globe.
Yeah.
8 o'clock.
Jermaine reckoned it was a show that could only have been named by a white person, so we'll have to tell Jade that he is now
white.
A white guy.
And is off the lineup.
So that's Crack Up with Cuzzies. 8 p.m. Yep. Globe Theatre, Saturday. Sunday, we've got a workshop double bill.
Yes. Yeah, we do. So we're doing week 2 of Introduction to Stand-Up Comedy, followed by week 1. So if you couldn't make it to week 2, you can do it. So if you couldn't make it to week 1, come to week 2, you can do both.
Yep.
$50 for the whole course.
$50 for the whole course. That includes free entry to all the open mics, any workshops, anything like that, and your membership to the Comedy Hub.
That's
Palmerston North as well while you're at it. So it's a pretty good deal. $50, $25 for membership. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's awesome.
It's $25 for the course, basically. Look at it that down. Way. And the people who go through that will also be in Par Baked Lols, which is going to be coming up in October. So until next week, I've been Nathan Cross.
Dylan Stewart.
And this has been Having a Laugh on NPR. We will see you next Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Check it in.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.